Okay, so let's get into this. We've been getting into relationship boot camp. We started out on Sunday talking about communication and some different aspects of communication. So we talked about, highlight some things. So we had talked about effective communication. We talked about patient communication, allowing a voice and respecting a choice. We talked about the proper timing for communication. We also talked about catchable language, expressive language surpasses accusatory language. So sometimes if you go into a conversation and your presentation is accusation, that's going to cause commotion and chaos. Because a person can always fight intent, but there is no fight for effect. So if you just share how something has affected you, there's no fight for effect. All right, and then we talked about assertiveness, and today we're going to get into active listening, but assertiveness, like just sharing how you feel. So sharing the effect of what someone's did, giving them an opportunity to apologize, repent, say my bad, or give you another angle in which they were trying to communicate their thought, as opposed to jumping to offense or defense first, or, well, in a lot of cases, jumping to attack first. That's never healthy for any relationship. Friendships, employees, work, ministry, definitely not husbands, wife, boyfriends, and girlfriends, and those that are engaged. All right, so let's get into active listening. So we talked about assertiveness, which is, sharing the effect of what someone does or how they feel. But the other partner to that is active listening. So, which has been very difficult in a lot of our cases. Let's go here to James chapter 1, 19. Like even in a relationship with church, active listening has been hard. I was talking to this executive, and he was talking about, he's actually a friend of mine. I said executive, to establish his credibility. But he was talking about how he deals with so many people in his industry who are, he called them box checkers. So at first he has a certain accent, the way he communicates. So at first I didn't know what he's talking about. But so then as I was listening hard, he said box checker. I said, huh? And so I thought it was like a new business concept. I said, so what do you mean by that? But then I heard him clearly. He said, people to check boxes. He says, so some of us live life, we check boxes. One of the things I learned in business, it was one of the my majors in college. They were teaching us the different types of people that operate in business as employees. And they talked about the custodial worker. So the custodial worker is the person that just shows up for a check. Like, as a matter of fact, if you work 9 to 5, 4:59, they like this. Like at 4:59, they got the 4:59. By the time it hit 5, they got their foot out the door.
No, my purse was in my hand at 4:59.
Right, so that's that custodial worker that they're only going to do what they're asked and barely enough, but they're not excellence, attention to detail. That's not their flow. And so it's the same thing. We could be custodial communicators. Like, I'm only talking so you can hear me. I'm not talking to understand you. I'm talking so you can understand me. So that's a box checker. Check. Okay. I sat here and I'm present so I can say I heard you, but I wasn't really listening. That was the old song. Your body's here with me, but your mind is on the other side of town. And so, it happens in church. People show up in church, and they're not listening. And I'm smiling for those that are listening online because people aren't aware of that. So they'll at the end of the service, they'll ask you a question, and your mind is going.
Then we just cover that.
So at times, I'm being honest with you, sometimes I go, they psyching me out. I'm going, I thought I just talked about it. Did I? Dog, fuck, I thought I meant to share that. And then the Holy Spirit was like, yeah, you shared a specific detail, you know, but the person either, you know, maybe they were convicted and was thinking about some level of conviction. Maybe it's just hard for them to stay focused because they allow their mind to race. What helps you to stay focused and to listen, even in a church setting, is take notes. You know, because now you have to draw your mind into writing stuff down and paying attention. Turn to the scriptures. Because see, you have to engage to listen. So turn to the scriptures versus, you know, just sitting there looking at us. I'm not putting no one down. I'm just saying you sit there looking at us. It's hard for you to absorb stuff if you're just watching. You know, you want to involve all your faculties. Get your hands involved. Write down some notes. Get your eyes involved. Turn some pages. You know what I'm saying? Like, what happens is it helps you to stay focused and absorb the information. But if you don't take no notes, you ain't turning no pages, you're not following the scriptures. And I know sometimes we go fast. You know, so this is the system. If you hear somebody tell you a scripture and you go into the scripture, so go to your scripture. And then as they're expounding, your ears are still absorbing them expounding as you're going to the scripture. Now, the only time it's going to be tough for you to keep following is if they just run off a certain amount of scriptures, but write them down at least. And then you can always go back to them later. Then guess what? The CDs are free. SoundCloud's free. iTunes is free. All this stuff is on Stitcher Radio. It's all free, so you can always follow up then. So let's go to James 1:19. You have a thought about that before?
Yeah, well, just
because you look like you was itching over there.
No, I wasn't itching. I was just thinking, you know, active listening language. Sometimes people are actively listening to themselves.
That's good.
You know, seriously, they love hearing themselves talk. Mm. And that speaks to that too.
All right, so we're going to go to James 1:19, but since she mentioned that, let's go to Proverbs 18:2. Proverbs 18:2, that's a great point. We're just going to add that to our active listening notes, because that wasn't in there. That was the Holy Ghost addendum. This is good. So Proverbs 18:2, it says, a fool has no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Right, so I don't think, you know, in terms of active listening, I don't think we want to be fools, right? Yeah, they don't want to understand nothing. They just want to discover themselves. When you discover what they say, and I learned this years ago, I already know what I know. I need to find out what you know. Like, I mean, let's say if I'm going through something. I'm going through something, and all the information that I know has facilitated in me being at this place. So for me to get out of what I'm doing, I need to open myself up to what? New information. So you may have a perspective or insight that I hadn't considered. I already know what I know. So if I keep, like, every time you try to help me, if I keep coming back with what I know, what am I saying? Leave me stuck here because I'm not going to change. Right? That's basically what I'm saying, right? If I always got to, but what about this? Well, what about this? It's still what I've always done and what I always do. I need to open up to what I don't know, not try to prove what I do. So let's go to James 1, since we're talking about active listening. Sweetheart, that was good.
I have another thought with that, but we'll wait till after.
You sure you don't want to jump in with that thought now?
Well, you know, let's go to James.
All right, okay. You ain't going to forget?
Uh-uh.
Okay. All right, so James chapter 1, and we'll read verse 19 here. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man, key word is every man, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now, that is a good progression, because if you're swift to hear, then you'll be slow to speak, and you'll be slow to wrath. It's great. We got to start out, though, being swift to hear, you know. It's something I learned from it's a book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. You know, he mentioned some Christian principles, not necessarily a Christian book. It is a focus and discipline book, but one of the, I think the third habit is seek first to understand before trying to be understood. And so when you seek to understand, the goal is to seek to understand. Sometimes we're speaking our language, but expecting people to understand us. But if you go to, you know, if you're in a situation of somebody's, I work with these guys that were Puerto Rican. I know they literally came off of, from their country. Newark has one of the biggest ports. Newark, New Jersey is one of the biggest ports in the world. So they actually would come into the port, and then they, you know, like sweatshops, stuff you see on TV be happening in Newark. So they had sweatshops. So these guys would work for this trucking company, but they were learning the language and learning the business, but they were teaching me Spanish. But I couldn't talk to them just in my language. They wouldn't understand me. I had to speak their language for them to understand. But at the same time, like, we say this a lot. It's probably not nice, but it's the truth. Like right now, you got people that do customer service a lot. It's some of these, it could be, I don't want to say the name of the company, but it could be phone companies. Certain phone companies have these customer service. I don't understand what they're saying. And the other day, I was talking to the person. I said, well, excuse me, could you repeat that? And the person was mad because I asked them to repeat it. I said, well, I didn't understand you. But it was almost like, what's wrong with you? First of all, I'm in the United States, and I speak English. And so maybe it's because you're speaking your language. Expect, like, you're almost offended because you haven't really mastered the language yet. But I wasn't tripping. I was just like, could you repeat that? Well, could you say that a little more? Slow it down so I can understand it.
You know what, honey? Uh-huh. One time I was so frustrated. I told the person, I said, can I speak to an American? He said, I am. I said, oh, man.
But the thing is, what it was is sometimes people are, they're so focused on themselves, they're speaking their language expecting you to understand. So let's say in relationships. So we always talk about, one thing we highlight relationships is a book called The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman and his wife. And Five Love Languages, acts of service, receiving gifts, personal touch, words of affirmation, and quality time. So let's say I like quality time. I'll just say that. So now I'm speaking that language to her. But she may like access her. So what I do is, let's say quality time, well, I'm going to give you all my time. And so she's frustrated because she wants my service. So I'm speaking my language for her. Now, she's a multilingual, not even bilingual. So all the five love languages is what she needs, every single one of them. I just got to make sure I figure out which one at the right time, right? But I'm saying, like, but you can't, I can't communicate what's comfortable for me and expect her to understand. I have to seek to understand her flow. Here at the church, we're at actually the guy I was talking to said this. We're in Charlotte. So it's somewhat of a melting pot. Like, you have so many different people from so many different areas. And we got a few, well, right now we only have one person from Charlotte here, right? So, but the thing is, this is what's so tough. Most of us are comfortable with where our culture and where we're from. Do we care enough about relationships that we're trying to discover what that person's used to and where they're from? Y'all gonna keep giving Pastor Keith a hard time. I'm from Newark, New Jersey. So you might have to, like, I have to study who's from Alabama, who's from Louisiana, what's their culture. Yes, we're all gonna harmonize, but we have to start with knowing where a person is at. We have to do that in marriage, right? In a premarital, we ask a questionnaire, what's your background? Where were you born? Were you raised by husband and wife? I mean, not husband and wife, mother and father. Right, were you raised by mother and father?
In some cases.
Yeah.
You did raise me, it's okay.
But we ask those questions because you're...
I raised you too a little bit.
Okay. Can we go stay focused? All right. So I'm trying to explain the thought. Okay. All right. So what happens is, if you don't have that background, because I discovered this when I worked for a church, and really I was put under some pressure because the pastor was saying, okay, well, I don't want y'all talking to people for hours. So he says, what I want y'all to do is the session should take 45 minutes, 15 minutes of diagnosis, 15 minutes of prescription, and 15 minutes of prayer. Now, how many of y'all know some people take 2 hours to even figure out what's going on with them? Like, they may come in with the issue, they think it's the issue, but by the time you get deeper and deeper, you discover what the real issue is. So I was like, man, I got to figure out a way to do this, cut down on this time. So I stopped handing people questionnaires. And like, so get all the preliminary stuff. So we don't have to spend an hour like finding out how you was raised, what your background is. I got all that information and we can get to the root. It still was taking longer than 45 minutes, but let's say that might have cut out a couple hours. It still was taking a long time. Well, why do you do that? Because the goal is to seek to understand people and to actively listen. Like, and I'll tell y'all, no, she knows this. If you're talking to us, and I'm going to speak for me in particular. If you're talking to me, I'm listening. So please don't just be saying stuff. Because then if you talk to me 6 months later and you say something else, I remember what you said 6 months ago. So I was like, well, wait a minute now. That don't line up with what you told me 6 months ago. I'm listening. So, and sometimes maybe you just not giving the details. You might want to get the details, because if it don't line up, I'll be like, I'm not trying to bust nobody out, but how do I serve people if I don't get clarity? How do we just, so we want clarity, so I'm listening to you. Listen to everything you told me. You know, we've known each other for years. We be talking about stuff. I was like, well, remember you told me. Right, so that's important, right? To actively listen. Did you want to jump in on that thought that you had?
Yeah, so that's why you have to actually, when I talked about before, actively listening, not just to yourself. Well, I said some people actively listen.
Actively listen to themselves.
To themselves. Actively,
yeah.
But some people don't actively listen to what they're saying, and it don't make any sense at all. And so they're not actively listening to what they're saying. So
keep talking.
Yeah. So you got the one where they love hearing themselves talk, but then you got the other one that's not actively listening to what they're saying. So when you really repeat, like there's times where we've had to say, okay, do you realize what you just said? And you repeat back to what they're saying. It's like, oh no, I didn't mean to say that. But you have to watch people like that, because they are not actively listening to what they're saying. So we have to be slow to speak, you know, quick to listen. The Holy Spirit should be taming our tongue. We're not uttering all of our mind, but be clothed with humility. And so we have to actively listen to ourselves. We have to listen with the intent of, okay, when I say this, how is it going to affect the person that I'm speaking to? Because sometimes we don't even care. We just say, hey, it's the truth, it's the truth. The truth is the truth is the truth. But you have to actively listen to yourself. Okay, when I say this, how is it going to be received? So I just wanted to put that piece in there. You got that?
Yeah, I'm actually. All right, so all right, so what she said is people aren't actively listening to themselves, and that's what's tough. When you have someone that's actively listening to you, but you're not actively listening to yourselves, the conversation becomes overwhelming, because you will get frustrated with the person asking you questions, because they ask you questions because, well, you just said this, but then you just said this, and you just said, well, what I meant was, no. You said something. So this is the thing is, you're communicating one thing, but you meant something else. Uh-huh. And you're mad at the person.
Right.
When you should understand, because what? You didn't communicate, or maybe you didn't have the patience, because sometimes you know how you think it through in your mind, but you give the cleft notes, but you don't realize you gave the cleft notes. you actually believe you said everything you thought, but you only said a part of it. So the person is like, well, no, you just said something. No, I didn't. No, yes, you did. This is what you said, you know, as opposed to what you just said. You're not actively listening to what you're actually saying.
Right.
You're only listening to what you're actually thinking. And we need what you're thinking to be fully expressed, not partially expressed. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
The scripture, well, we're going to get into this maybe Friday, but it's you can end up deceiving yourself.
Then you have to recover from yourself.
Right. Then you, right, exactly. Boy, you on it today, boy. Y'all better watch out. Watch out. Q&A. Stay away from Pastor Melanie. All right, so you have to ask yourself this question when you're in any relationship. When you come to church, when you because we have a relationship with God, so when we come to church, what? We're coming to church to hear from God. At least that's what the goal is supposed to be. What's up? I see you got you. Right? That's what the goal is supposed to be, right? Is to really hear from God. So you have to ask yourself, do you care to really listen in your relationships? Listen, do you care to really listen? Do you care to really listen? Because some people don't care to listen. Like the audience is not important to them. Right, so Philippians 2 says, esteem others better than yourself. Look not every man on his own things, on the things of others. Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens. I can't bear nobody's burdens if I'm not listening to them. So if I think it's just all about me and Marcus starts talking, I'm like, why is Marcus talking? Like, what could you possibly have to say right now? You're invading my space with your words, Marcus. That would be like, I don't value him. Right? I don't care to listen, but I have to listen. Now, sometimes it's not that people don't care. Sometimes it has people haven't trained themselves to listen. So somebody could be talking to you, and you could be so busy with so many other things in your mind, you ain't really listening. You didn't write it down. You ain't pay attention. That's not, I don't care about the person. That's, I'm so caught up in my task or what I'm doing, I really didn't slow down to absorb.
It's called selfish.
Well, I'll let you go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, it is. It's just called selfish because what happens for a selfish person is they're self-centered. When you're self-centered, all you're looking at is what I got to do, when I got to do it, how I got to do it. And so you miss the opportunity to actually plug in and really be present in a situation. And so with the whole listening, if we do more of listening, see, that's why God gave us one mouth and two ears. Why didn't he just give us one ear? He gave us, and look how he located the ears, one on each side. So in case you missed this side, you know what I'm saying. He gave you two ears to hear. And so what we got to do is really take hearing and listening face value. God is really wanting us to listen more, you know, and if we can incline our ears to hear, then we can even hear more clearly even what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Because why? We're tuning ourselves, because it takes a tuning yourself to, you know, you got to tune in to what the person's saying, you know, even when you got to, and see, the thing about it is why you want to practice listening is because what it does is it tunes your ears to even tune into a heart, his heart. So if, let's say, you and I, if all our whole time existence of being together is straight me talking, I don't care what he says, well, I'm not going to tap into that heart. And that's what we want to do. We want to tap into people's hearts. To be effective in life, you got to tap into the heart of man. Because that's where out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The heart is where a lot of our issues are coming from, is from the heart. So when you tap into a person's heart, that's the real them. See, the outer shell we talked about last week, the outer shell,
the countenance.
And it's so it's so easy to be so drawn into the countenance to the point where you even reject the countenance. But what you're doing ultimately is rejecting the heart of the person. The person's in there like, no, really, I'm really not like what I look like. They can't say it because they can't see their face. So we gotta tap into the heart of man, because that's where real communication begins, not from the head, from the heart.
Mm. Preach, sister. All right, so the interesting thing is the purpose to know what you're saying. That means the context of what you're saying, or to give an understanding of what you're saying, and that's make what you're saying catchable. So sometimes we just get caught up in the context. This is what I said. I know what I said. Right. But do you want it absorbed? So if I could use I'll just use this. All right. So Marcus, I'm going to use you. You can stay where you are. So for Marcus, Marcus grown, right? So just picture this being a football. So the throw to DeMarcus, it's a football. You should have caught it. Right? Right. But the little fella right there, I'm not throwing it to him like that when he growing up, right? I'm throwing it to him like this. Right? You're supposed to jump. You're supposed to leap over the chair to catch it, man.
No, he looked at his mom like, I had this and you messed it up.
Like, get out my way. That's what she's... But the whole point is, you throw stuff here. I do it this way. It's probably better if I do this. So you're gonna catch it, right? Right. So, right. There you go. Throw it back.
Good job.
Good job. I see that you got a little stroke there. I see. Right. But the whole point is, I threw it so he could catch it. I wanted him to catch it.
Yeah.
Right. As opposed to if I just, I'm not gonna do it. But if I just hauled off and like knocked him upside his head with it, do I want him to catch that? Oh, he pointed to you. He said, like,
he's telling on you.
Well, right. Good job. Children, they're going to tell the truth. Right. So the thing is, communication is the same way. Do you want to be right, or do you want to be heard? Absorbed. The goal is to have the information absorbed. So I taught in a ministry school. I was a dean of school for a while. And the school was set up where if you followed the plan, you would ace the class. But you had to do all the layers. We talk about layered learning around here. All the layers. And I told him, I said, I'm not in here to stump you. Because there were some people that had curriculum, and it was like they pride themselves in being tough professors. Okay, so you tough. Like my psychology professor. I don't know if you're out there watching, but I remember first grading period. I've told this story 1,000 times. I got a 20. And what they did was he scaled the test, so that 20 was a C. No. Yeah, the 20 was a C. So let me get this right. I got 20% of the information, and I got a C. I passed. What did I learn? Nothing. But it was his pride was he was a tough professor. We're not here to validate your toughness. We're here to get the information. And if we all failed, which everybody did, now I said it wrong. I think the highest grade was a 40. That's what it was. So the person that got an A, we got a 40. They ain't learned nothing either. That's a reflection on us. If everybody failed, that's a reflection on a professor. You didn't communicate where you could absorb it. So I told the people in ministry school, oh, no, I'm not here to stump you. Because if you don't know this stuff, you're going to affect lives. That's like you being a surgeon. And I'm trying to stump you. I'm just trying to trick you. So, yeah, it's hard to pass my class. So you're going to go around cutting the wrong arteries. Somebody's going to die. This is not, you know... Our marriage is not about, yeah, you ain't figured that one out yet either. See, because I'm just too deep for you, babe. Too deep. You're so too deep. Okay, we just not getting along because she don't understand nothing I'm saying. But I'm walking around like, yeah, that was deep, wasn't it? Wasn't it? What? This, hey, elevate your vocabulary. Elevate. Oh, that's not what the goal is. The goal is to understand. Now, the goal is not to water it down where people are not getting information. You want to stretch people, but you still, the goal is for people to understand.
Okay, so when you were talking, I was thinking about this listening. And I thought about how the universe listened to God. In the beginning.
Listens.
Yeah,
we speak.
When he spoke, he said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light.
That's good.
You know, when he said, let there be, the moon, the stars, all of that stuff. He called it. And the universe listened. Now, we reap what we sow. So if we're not listening, guess what? We're going to reap people not listening to us. And we are designed to have authority with our mouth. So the same authority, because we're created in God's image, the same authority that he had, we actually have. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so we have to understand that listening is a huge part of when you speak, things actually should move on your behalf when you say what you say. The scripture says, you ask whatsoever you ask, you'll receive it. If you faint not, I believe is what it said, But the point I'm making in the whole thing is we have to understand the power of listening. Listening can actually call things in. So, and then you also have to be a steward over what you hear, because you reap what you sow. So if you are not a good listener when you talk, guess what? There are going to be people that's not going to be a good listener to you. We want people to listen to us, right? So we got to be good listeners, because we don't want to reap that not listening. So there's power in listening is the point. Yeah. Does that make sense?
No, it makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Actually, so the scripture in Mark chapter 11, we're going to go
that
there.
That was kind of a little deep.
No. This is going to be perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I got you.
Okay.
I got you.
All right, it's just hot off the press, y'all. Trust me. I was bringing it out, I was like, okay, perfect. Holy Ghost, what you doing here?
No, you'll see. Okay. It's perfect.
Good.
All right, so let's see in the morning, since tomorrow, Mark 11:12. It says, and on tomorrow when they were come, I'm sorry, Mark 11:12, are y'all there? Okay. It says, and on tomorrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, and happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for a time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. We'll go over to verse 20. It says, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the root. And Peter, calling to remember, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree, with thou cursest, with his words, is withered away. And Jesus answered, said unto them, have faith in God. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but thou shalt believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Right.
Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, absorb them, and you shall have them. Right? All right, so I brought the scripture out because of what she said. The fig tree listened, heard what Jesus said, and responded to everything he said. He cursed it, it withered. Jesus explained it on the positive. He says, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed, be plucked up into the sea, by faith. If you speak faith-filled words, that mountain has no choice but to absorb them. What he was what he was saying is, but you have to speak catchable words. Right? You just can't speak doubtful or fearful words. Think about it. My language is hard for her to catch if I'm fearful, angered, and defensive. It's going to be hard for her to absorb. But But if I'm speaking out of faith, just, hey, I'm offering this, giving her an angle, but I'm not, well, she ain't gonna believe what I had to say anyway. All she gonna do is fight and get defensive. It's kind of hard. Or if I think she don't want to hear it, let me get worked up and go off. You gonna do, I'm the man of this house. You, hey, look, you call me King Keith. Like, that's not, that ain't gonna go over well. Right, that's hard to absorb. But when you speak faith-filled words, they're easy to be caught. But again, what I like that the Lord gave her was everything really is designed to listen. Like right now, what I could do is I could hit the microphone on my notes, and I could speak. It's designed to listen. And it'll start typing out what I say. But it has to what? Listen. It has to absorb the actual information. Now, the interesting thing is, suppose we hit the microphones on our phone in a lot of our arguments and let it type out what we said. We probably should do that, because you know how we go, that's not what I said. It will be typing out exactly what you said. See, you thought one thing, but you said something else, right? So it's what I like about what she said about actively listening is everything is designed to listen. The trees, creation. I'll do this in another teaching, but I taught on the atmosphere of sound and how God spoke things into existence, and things just. Like the light came, the water showed up, the herbs start bearing forth seed, all because it listened, absorbed, and it responded. So nothing has changed. I know it may be deep, but it's still...
No, that's good.
It's a good point.
There's been studies shown where a baby would make certain sounds, and based on what sound that child made, determined whether the baby was hungry, the stomach was hurting, whatever. It was like, I don't know, it was like probably about like 10 different things that the baby, based on the sound that the baby was given. It was amazing. Have y'all, anybody ever saw that study? No. Okay, yeah. So sound, you got to study your baby's sound. You know, when a baby cries, there's certain, you're, like they make sounds like that. Well, one of the sound like that was the baby's stomach was hurting. So you got to pay attention to sound. God gave us sound for a reason. So we got to listen to those sounds. So that was just another example of how we need to pay attention to listening.
And sometimes if you listen, you can, especially if you're in a heated conversation, if you're not so busy defending yourself, you listen, you can actually diffuse the conversation. Ecclesiastes 10:4 says, yielding pacifieth great anger. Yielding pacifieth great anger. Really, if you respond in anger, you just add fuel to the fire. That's Ecclesiastes 10, verse 4. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 4. Yielding pacifieth great anger. Proverbs 16:23-24, it says, the wise teach their mouth and add learning to their lips. The wise teach their mouth but add learning to their lips. See, I'm teaching my mouth. Okay, you already know what you know. Be quiet. I'm trying to absorb. But sometimes we're so quick to respond. I know as my son was growing, you know, by the time I got out the information, I know. It was like he was intercepting it. I know. I was like, man, it's okay not to know. You're at the stage where you're learning. It's okay not to know. Even if you're older, if you haven't known something, it's okay not to know stuff. In areas where I don't know stuff, I just be asking questions because I don't know. I have no idea. So I just be like, so what does that mean? So what exactly is that? They be using all these little phrases and it, like, what does that phrase actually mean? Because I don't know. I'm not going to try to act like I'm an expert about something I don't know. And the thing is, but that's how I learn so much, because I'm always asking questions about stuff. Like, so what does that mean? So when you do that, why do you do that way? Especially if I meet so many types of people, was lawyers, doctors, whatever, and I learned something during the sleepover. So Vito, who does he trains bodybuilders, but he's into bodybuilding. And so he was preparing for a meet. He says, so the week before the meet, you dehydrate yourself, which I never heard of before. I was like, you dehydrate? He said, for a whole week, you dehydrate yourself. So when you dry out your muscles, he says, now when you start to take in all the nutrients and stuff you need, it makes the muscles elastic, makes the skin elastic, and it stretches to cover the muscle. So when you see those guys doing the bodybuilding and they look like you can see every little muscle, he said, they only like that for like 2 days. The day of the meet and maybe the next day. He says, they ain't like that all year. He says, I had never heard that in my life. But I know that now because I asked him, you know, am I going to do that? Doubt it very seriously. You know, but you understand what I'm saying? But it's just taking the time to listen and learn from people. And this is the thing, like, suppose if I was asking Vito questions, he was avoiding the question. How would I understand? Suppose he had to train me to work out, and I was like, so you're like, we work out together, and she was like, okay, well, why you do this, and why you do that, or should I do this way? And suppose I was like, well, just figure it out. Be responsible for your workout. Google it. No, how are you going to flow with somebody if you don't have the specifics? In the early years, she dealt with this because I didn't really, like I told you, I was working on the vision back here somewhere, and I didn't want to expose it until it was done because I didn't want no questions. And then she'd be asking questions because we went through different stages. I was pursuing professional basketball, so where do I fit with this? Well, babe, like, you know, we'll talk about that later, you know. Honestly, I didn't know. Then I was moving up in management. So where do I fit? Babe, like, why you? Just flow. Flow with what? Honestly, I couldn't answer the question. You know, business, we got into a business, we had a business. And so now how, you know, what do you see? Babe, come on now. Now, Lord knows if she talked about a budget meeting on finances. It's like, man, wait, budget? How we gonna budget bills? But I got to, you know, a point where I had to humble myself and say, well, I can't answer those questions because I don't know. Because I really didn't know. Now, when God called me to ministry, I can answer those questions. At the stage that we was at, this is where we at, this is what we was gonna do. I wrote a vision. I had a time. I had a timeline, two-year timeline, two-year plan. I mean, I did it right before maybe a year and a half before it was executed. I started working on it, but once I told the person, I said, well, okay, well, since you don't know what to do, I'll research. But I gave her all the research. I gave her the scratch. I gave her whatever, like every step of the way, detail. We would talk about it. You know, because how's somebody going to roll with you if they're not understanding what you're saying or you're avoiding the questions? So watch when you're, there is a responsibility to actively listen, but you can't be avoiding the questions that the person is trying to listen to. You know, you can't say, make statements like, don't question me. Now, there's a difference between asking questions and questioning. Asking questions to discover so we can get on the same page is one thing. Questioning, like, I already know what I want to do, and it's not what you're doing, so now I'm going to question what you do.
To discredit you.
Right, yeah, right, to discredit what you're doing. That's not asking questions or to bust somebody else out. That's not, I'm not trying to discover. So I'll ask Ray a question, but I really want to expose Marcus. So I'm not really trying to discover anything. I'm trying to bust out Marcus. You know, that's dangerous. That doesn't help. And so how do we get on the same page in agreement? Assertiveness and active listening. You know, we can't have double standards there. So if you want to be heard, you got to be listening. You have to allow what you've allowed and what you've demanded. So that means, for me, how could I put it? All right, I want to be heard, so I'm demanding her to hear me, right? I want to give her permission to speak, So that's what I'm going to reap. But let's say if I'm not allowing her to speak, then I should expect the same thing, not to be allowed to speak. If I'm not listening to her, I should expect her not to listen to me. Well, of course, it's going to be even greater, because if I give it in a seed, I'm going to get back a tree. So, right? So it's amazing how we expect, excuse me, what we're not willing to give. We want someone to be totally attentive to us, but we're not attentive at all.